Thing. I got a good one for you today. Today I'm going to tell you how the philosophy of spiritualism can be seen in one of the most traditional stories of the Christmas season. It's called A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. I strongly believe that Mr. Dickens is a dyed-in-the-wool spiritualist, and you may agree at the conclusion of my sermon. Let me quote from the first paragraph of that very famous and beloved tale. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatsoever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. End of quote. You know, every time I hear this story, I'm struck by the obvious conclusion, connection with spiritualism. From the very beginning, Mr. Dickens talks about the change called death. He wants us to be sure that a transition viewed by many as final has taken place. But then he goes on to tell us that death is not the end. A side note here, modern spiritualism, through the various phases of mediumship, have proven that humans survive death. Let's jump ahead to the home of the main character, Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge. Mr. Scrooge is not a medium. Mr. Scrooge is not a spiritualist. Far from it. Why, he's not a spiritual anything as far as Mr. Dickens describes. He's a disagreeable, unkind, selfish, materialistic old coot. Kind. Remember when he was asked to show some charity to the poor and he refused and suggested that they quickly die and decrease the surplus population? What did he care about the souls of the living, let alone even consider that there might be souls of the so-called dead? So here we have Scrooge alone on his doorstep. Mr. Dickens assures us that there is nothing at all special about the knocker on the door, and that Scrooge has not bestowed one thought on Marley since his last mention of his 7 years dead partner, 7 years ago. Now, here's a man who is not consciously striving for a manifestation from spirit, yet, let me quote, Scrooge, having his key in the lock of the door, saw in the knocker, not a knocker, but Marley's face. Here we have the first indication that Marley's identity, 7 years after his death, continues. Looking at an image on a shiny, this goes way back to the Egyptians and the early Greeks. And they would take, they believed in what is called scrying. We don't believe in that, but it is a fact that there is such a thing. Now, there are various degrees of transmediumship. That is, there is the form which we call conscious trance, where the medium is awake, aware of his or her actions, but unable to control what comes through, the eyes being open throughout presentation of the phenomena. Now, let us go into the privacy of the bedchamber. As Mr. Dickens points out, and I'll quote again, he lived in chambers which had once belonged to his deceased partner, Marley. Are the chambers haunted? We may wonder, especially after what happens next. With a strange, inexplicable dread, Scrooge saw a bell begin to swing. I think that would kind of scare me too. As it rang, so did every bell in the house. Now Scrooge was alone in the house, so what made the bells ring? Scrooge experienced a phenomena of spiritualism similar to the famous rappings heard by the Fox sisters. This was a communication from spirit. Very soon, Mr. Scrooge encountered a full manifestation. Remember, he's not in trance. Another note, spirit materialization. There's a great difference between a materialized form and an etherealized form. You can pass your hand through an etherealized form, but not through a materialized one. Also, when Scrooge saw the spirit entity, this was because his clairvoyance was open temporarily beyond ordinary vision by the physical eye. It's hard for me to read. This is called subjective, mediumistic, or impressional clairvoyance, wherein the spirit registers communication upon the mind of the medium through vision, symbol, impression, or taking on of conditions. Whereas objective clairvoyance, the medium is able to see objectively spirit entities and their surroundings as they actually exist in the spirit world. As Mr. Dickens points out, the same face, the very same, Marley in his pigtail, usual waistcoat, tights, and boots, his body was transparent. The chain he drew was clasped about his middle. Jacob Marley is an individual whose identity continues after the change called death. That's principle number 4 in the Declaration of Principles. We affirm that the existence and personal identity of the individual continues after the change called death. Now, I'm sure you all know why Marley's visit to Scrooge is so important to this story. Marley brought a message to Scrooge about the purpose of life. From his vantage point on the other side, Marley could understand how his past on the earth plane impacted his misery on the other side. As Marley says, and I quote, "I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link, yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will, I wore it." These three important principles in our declaration are illustrated here. Number 5, we affirm that communication with the so-called dead is a fact, scientifically proven by the phenomena of spiritualism. Marley was dead, and yet Scrooge was talking to him, and Marley told Scrooge about principle 6 and 7. We believe that the highest morality is contained in the Golden Rule. Whatever you would that others should do unto you, do he also unto them. And principle 7, we affirm the moral responsibility of the individual and that we make our own happiness or unhappiness as we obey or disobey nature's physical and spiritual laws. Marley admits to his free will and that he is reaping what he sowed. This is the principle of the law of cause and effect. It seems rather hopeless, doesn't it? Oh, but when we mustn't forget the reason why Marley is here. As the 8th principle of spiritualism reads, we affirm that the doorway to reformation is never closed against any soul here or hereafter. Marley is coming to do a good deed for Scrooge in the hopes of his sparing him the mistake Marley made. Marley has learned to try to help others and to do Scrooge what he wished someone had done for him. Another side note here, Sir Oliver Lodge, one of our founding fathers, said, "I tell you with all the strength and conviction I can, Potter, that we do resist, that people over there don't take an interest in what is going on here, and that they still help us and know far more about things there than we do, and able from time to time to communicate with us." End of that quote. There is hope. Scrooge is a man who was not touched by the pain of the crippled child, Tiny Tim, nor by the meekness and yet perseverance of his clerk, Bob Cratchit. He didn't care about the warmth of the Christmas carolers on the street, nor did it matter that many around him suffered. In our world today, I'm sad to say there are many who remove themselves from involvement with others. There are so many who are unmoved by the cries of their fellow humans for help. Like Scrooge, they only think about themselves. How can these people be reached? In the Dickens story, it was a manifestation of a spirit, the communication with the so-called dead that broke through the barrier of indifference. To make his point perfectly clear, Mr. Dickens brings in three ghostly apparitions to communicate with Scrooge. These spirits do not harm Scrooge in any way. In fact, they take great pains to assure him of his safety and their good intentions. They show him their knowledge of his past and the possibilities for his future. How many of you have received messages from spirit or received a reading in which a medium channeled a communication from spirit? Somehow, when our departed Aunt Lou tells us that we're going to get well or get rich or get married, we believe it more readily than if we were told that by our best friend. But you see, we understand that the purpose of spirit communication is to help us and to reassure us, and that we have free will and can act upon the messages as we see fit. Scrooge learned many things in that one Christmas Eve night. It changed his whole life. As a result, it changed the lives of so many others for the better. Again, we see natural law in action. Like attracts like. Like a ripple effect, Scrooge gave to others of his wealth, his love, and his spirit, and their lives benefited, and they were able to share the same with Scrooge. He is clearly now a happy man at the end of the story. As Mr. Dickens said, his own heart laughed, and it was always said of him he knew how to help Christmas keep Christmas well. He became a loving man, and he was loved. And what is that important message that Marley conveyed to Scrooge? Listen carefully to Marley's words, for this is the key. "Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, benevolence were all my business. It is required of every person that spirit within you walk abroad among your fellow men." Marley is admonishing us all to care about one another and to help one another. This is what is emphasized by the spirit of giving at Christmas. This is what is meant by natural law in reaping the benefits of giving. Spirits communicate with us sometimes in a desperate effort to help us see the truth in this message. As Marley lamented, now on the spirit side, he could not change or interfere in the actions of those on the earth plane. He could only communicate what might be. As spiritualists, we can benefit from the help of our spirit guides and loved ones. As humans on the earth plane, it is up to us to act for the good of others and ultimately ourselves, to reach out and help one another, to love one another, as the Master Jesus advised us. And as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us all. In closing, I'd like to say that this year will come to a close very soon. I think we should reflect on our lives and make some New Year's resolutions. Resolve to be of service to others, to reach out to help one another, to be more loving, more caring, more understanding, more forgiving, more patient, more kindly, to forge